Moncrief on News Talk.
A US judge has halted a controversial White House construction project after plans for a massive new ballroom led by President Donald Trump resulted in the demolition of part of the historic East Wing. The ruling makes clear that the president cannot act alone and that Congress must approve such changes. To tell us more, I'm joined on the line by Larry Donnelly, law lecturer at NUIG. Good afternoon, Larry.
Good afternoon. Great to be with you.
Why was the ballroom construction stopped?
Well, the National Trust for Historic Preservation brought a lawsuit effectively arguing that the president doesn't have the authority to do this. And the judge, Richard Leon, agreed with their argument and said in very strong terms that Donald Trump is the steward of the White House. He is not the owner. And what needs to happen, according to Judge Leon, is that independent commissions need to approve of this, as does Congress, that Donald Trump doesn't have the authority to do what he did. But part of the problem here is the National Trust for Historic Preservation, they brought this lawsuit in December of last year. But the thing is, Trump had already demolished the East Wing in October. So in some respect, it's moot at this stage. But we shall see where we go next.
Who was funding the construction of the ballroom?
Well, according to Trump, it is a combination of both individual donors and corporations. That is not taxpayer money. And indeed, it was originally slated to cost $200 million. That price tag has shot up to $400 million. And even if this is not funded by taxpayers, the fact that you have these wealthy individuals and business interests funding this project makes you wonder what kind of influence they're buying by making these massive donations.
Certainly. Why was it being built in the first place? Like, why is he just like a dog with a bone about this?
It is a huge priority for him and seemingly not very many other people. This is kind of the ultimate vanity project for Donald Trump. Architectural purists will assail what he has done already in terms of gold all over the Oval Office, paving over the Rose Garden. There are certain improvements he wants to make around Washington, D.C. to some of the monuments, which I think probably are a good idea. Some of them do need some work. But this is purely a vanity operation. He thinks that he says that this is such a facility is needed, but exactly why he needs a facility that's going to be 90,000 square feet in size and will accommodate 999 people. It's extraordinary at every level, and it seems to matter to him, but I can't imagine it matters a whole lot to very many people across middle America who are struggling today still and who voted for him in 2024 to fix their lives, which he hasn't been able to do.
For those reasons, then, are you thinking, like, there are some people opposed to this project, I would imagine?
Yeah, there are. And, look, we'll see what Trump does next. He's got other options. I mean, he can, of course, appeal the judge's ruling, which is something he's fond of doing. That's his tactic always in litigation, is to appeal, push things off and push things off. As I indicated, a lot of the damage here, so to speak, is done already. They're left in a situation with, where do you go now? The East Wing is gone. What takes its place? The question then becomes, these independent boards, or supposedly independent boards that he has to consult with, a lot of them he has basically packed with his cronies. So perhaps getting that approval won't be too difficult. But the other thing then becomes, if this needs congressional approval, it brings up a couple of big questions. Number one, the United States is de facto at war at the moment. Is this the kind of thing that Congress should actually be considering? And number two, even though Trump does control the Republican Party, even though the Republican Party is in the majority, is this a vote that they want to be taking ahead of the midterm election? So it's really hard to know where this is going to go next. But, anybody's guess, as always with Trump, is as good as mine.
You're talking about the destruction of that East Wing and how it essentially doesn't exist anymore. What was the East Wing? What was there that's now gone?
Well, it's, you know, it was good question. I can't say I know exactly everything that was in the East Wing. But look, it was built in 1902. It was very substantially restored and refurbished by President Roosevelt there subsequently decades later. And in terms of the edifice that is the White House and that people are used to seeing, a vast element of that is gone. And from speaking to people who have been in Washington, D.C. In recent months, they basically say the White House is kind of unrecognizable. This is totally different from what it once was. Now, you know, the Trump's people are saying that, look, this is going to modernize the infrastructure of the White House. It's going to improve security. Color me dubious on that one.
Larry, why was funding for National Public Radio and Public Broadcasting Service challenged?
Well, the funding, basically, Republicans have long, and this predates Donald Trump, to be honest with you, he's gone ahead and done this, but Republicans have been wanting to do this for a long time. Their perception is that National Public Radio is pretty much a left-wing mouthpiece, or at least in American terms, a very leftist-dominated network. And indeed, if you were to look at the audience, for National Public Radio, they do tend to be on the left, but that having been said, there's a lot of very good programming that's right down the line on National Public Radio. The point is that conservatives have long viewed it as an outlet for the left. They've long wanted to defund it. Trump has, again, he's issued an order doing that. That order has been struck down. Congress has passed legislation. But so, again, we have more of these conflicts between the executive branch and the judicial branch, which are increasingly more common. But a lot of this stuff boils down to, you know, whether it's National Public Radio, whether it's demolishing part of the White House. Part of the issue here is that there was always an implicit faith that the President of the United States wouldn't, take an axe to some of the institutions, to the conventions, to the things that Americans almost take for granted. And there isn't the legal infrastructure around a lot of this stuff that there should be. And again, that was dependent on the fact that we kind of implicitly trusted that whoever, you know, held the White House temporarily would have respect for all of that stuff. We are now seeing what can happen when somebody isn't constrained by those sorts of sentiments, that they have a lot of power and they have a lot of untrammeled authority here. So again, the courts are taking a stand on this, but again, where it goes now is really hard to know.
Has Donald Trump reacted to this halt on his big build, his big beautiful build?
Yeah, well, I mean, in typically understated terms, he has called the National Trust for Historic Preservation a radical left group of lunatics. So that is sort of, you know, standard for the course. What he's going to do, I don't know. But again, to zoom out a little bit politically, you know, his numbers are not good anyway. The war on Iran is not popular with the American people. While he is fixated on what happens, you know, with respect to the ballroom or even with NPR, the American people are saying, what are you doing? This is not what we elected you to do. And more to the point, his fellow Republicans who are on the ballot, they're not saying it publicly because they know Trump still has an army of disciples behind him. But behind closed doors, you can rest assured that they are saying that this guy is losing it.
Larry, is there any possibility that what has been built of the ballroom will simply be demolished when he is gone?
That could well be, you know, again, this we're on uncharted waters. You know, the president here has basically unilaterally taken it upon himself to take a hammer and an axe and demolish part of the White House. You know, what happens next is hard to know. He seems absolutely determined to go ahead with the ballroom. If the ballroom is indeed constructed, then the question becomes at that stage, what is the point in demolishing what's there, what has come to pass? But again, it's really hard to know where this is all going to wind up.
These times, they remain unprecedented, and I was never prepared for it, to be honest. How does free speech relate to government funding decisions, Larry?
Well, you know, the idea that in terms of the court, in terms of the NPR decision, the reason why Trump issued this order effectively defunding National Public Radio, and part of the rationale for the court's decision was the judge pushed back and said, just because you don't like the content of what's being broadcast, that doesn't give you the authority, because on you again, First Amendment rights and speech and all that, because you don't like the content of the speech, that doesn't give you the grounds to defund National Public Radio. And indeed, that was what Trump said. Trump effectively sunk himself with a lot of his pronouncements around why he was going about doing that. But again, I expect that this one will be appealed. And, who knows if he gets a favorable appellate court, it could be reversed. But all these ongoing legal battles, Trump fights them on a regular basis. He always has. And his tactic is always the same. Obfuscate, drag it out, keep it going as best he can, and hope that he can grind things down and ultimately get his way.
Do you think he'll have a desire to drag this one out, given he is also dealing with a lot of other things, say the war and the current geopolitical situation broadly?
The rational, if you try to apply rational analysis.
Oh, we can try.
If we can try to impute to him the characteristics of a rational actor, then you say he walks away from this stuff and says, look, I've got bigger fish to fry here, both in terms of extricating my country from a war that I foolishly began and trying to save and mitigate against the damage that's likely to come in the midterms. But his actions across a whole range of different spheres could give rise to the suspicion that he really doesn't care what happens in the upcoming elections or about his approval ratings. And I think that, again, trying to apply rationality, that's very foolish, because if Democrats do retake the House, which they are very, very likely to do, and possibly even the Senate, they, from the minute they are sworn in next January, will do everything in their power to make the next 2 years he's in the White House, and perhaps thereafter, a living hell for him. And there's an awful lot of things that they could investigate, and there's an awful lot of potential trouble and pitfalls for him.
I know we spoke earlier about the jury being kind of literally out about the future of this kind of half-constructed ballroom in terms of the next president. But in terms of the next president coming in then, is there a possibility that they could issue proceedings against Trump potentially?
I would view that as very much unlikely. I don't see that happening. I think that for all sorts of different reasons, and I think that if there is a Democratic president who succeeds Trump, and again, we should not absolutely presume that that's going to be the case, but if there is a Democratic president who proceeds, my suspicion is that he'll try, or she will try, to put Donald Trump in the rearview mirror as fast as possible and try to set forth a new vision, and articulate a new vision, taking the view that that's what the country needs. And in the end, what is to be gained by another protracted legal battle from an embittered former president?
We'll have to wait and see. Larry Donnelly, law lecturer at NUIG, thank you so much for joining me. Text in from Teresa. Did anyone ever see Trump dancing? Is he any Strictly good? Yeah, a lot of effort to be building a ballroom when you can't really dance. But who am I to judge, eh?
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.